Broadcasting live from more than 600 affiliates in North America, including Puerto Rico, Guam, and Canada, you are listening to Coast AM out of the iHeart Studios in Louisville, Kentucky from 840 WHAS. I'm Connie Willis, and that's Dixie Midnight Runner, Come On Eileen, one of the best songs, one of the top songs. I mean, I never remember the name of the group. I just remember the song. And if you're not moving to that, I don't know. How can you not? How can that not bring a little bit of joy to yourself? And, you know, I remember the video. I think they're all kind of bouncing around in overalls, right? Well, our guest tonight with cryptocurrency, Stan Larimer, you'll pretty much see that man doing the same when you see pictures of him along the way. He's got his little overalls, you know, hanging out on his farm, his little ranch, you know, doing his thing, taking care of the grandkids. And, of course, the godfather of BitShares and helping, you know, things up on the on Mars. I mean, that's kind of cool, right? So don't ever underestimate the power of overalls. Connie Willis here, or Crypto Connie here on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares. Stan, what I really enjoy about what I'm learning with the cryptocurrency is that the common person can gain tremendous wealth. Is that going to be, is somebody going to try to stop that in the future?
Well, I don't think that they're necessarily going to try to stop common person from gaining wealth as much as they're going to try to hoard all the wealth for themselves, and the common person gets sort of caught up in that as their giant sucking sound of the central banking authorities try to suck all the lifeblood out of the rest of the economy and control it all for themselves. But the cryptocurrencies is sort of our last great hope for freedom, because anybody that gets a few well-chosen cryptocurrencies now could find themselves the beneficiaries of a great generational increase in wealth in the coming few years, especially if we have a currency crisis. There'll be a great flight to safety. Some people will try to flee into precious metals, but more and more people will find it easier to flee into things like Bitcoin and BitShares. And so knowing about it now before the crisis and getting a little bit of your wealth outside the current banking system where you can control it and where it can't be frozen or rehypothecated or bailed in or any of the things that the current banking system is plotting to do to us, is probably a wise thing to do and a great opportunity. But you got to know what currencies to buy, because they're not all created equal.
Is it a little safer too? Like, I know a lot of businesses, you know, they get hacked now. Is this unhackable or less hackable?
Well, the blockchains themselves are generally very resistant to hacking, but the place that can get hacked is any place where there's centralization and accumulation of funds. As long as the coins are safely tucked away on your own computer, the only danger is that you'll forget your password or someone else will trick you into revealing it. But if you put your digital currencies on a central exchange, you create, and everybody else does that, you create a big target, a honeypot for hackers to go in and try to get into that central exchange's wallet, trick them to giving up their password, and then running off with everybody's money. And that's one of the nice things about having an exchange that's completely decentralized like BitShares is that can't happen. So BitShares is much more secure unless you put your BitShares on a central exchange, which some people do. And at that point, they're at risk because you gave your BitShares to another company to hold in their wallet with everybody else's coins. And that is your big risk.
Well, you've mentioned along the way blockchain and mining. So Ken, before I ask you about some of these companies, can you briefly describe what mining is and blockchain?
Yeah, sure. First off, blockchain is just a decentralized ledger that requires a whole bunch of computers all over the world to agree on what goes into that database. Each block could be thought of as a sheet of paper that keeps track of all the transactions that occurred during that 10 minutes, or in the case of BitShares, 3 seconds. And during that period of time, when that period is up, then it gets taken and put in a three-ring binder and cryptographically tied to all the other pages that were put in there ahead of it, and that turns it into like a chain of 10-minute blocks or 3-second blocks that are all locked together so you can't change them. And that's the really important thing. Now, all the computers in the world that are watching that, all those trusty robots, have to agree that that particular new page is in the book, and then they sew it to the rest of the pages in a way that can't be undone. And that is what the blockchain is. It's just a way for a non-centralized record of everything that's happened in the world.
And there's no censorship.
Yep. The idea is because all those different robots have to agree, if you own one of the robots and try to change something, the rest of the robots will object and reject what it is you want to do.
So I love that. That's great. That's the way it should be. And so the mining part, that's just confusing.
Okay. Well, I can agree that that's confusing. It's also obsolete, but people will be doing it for a few more years. What Satoshi did was had to solve the problem of deciding who gets to certify or sign off on each block. So he made a little contest and said, okay, all the computers in the world are going to try to guess a magic number for 10 minutes, and whoever finds the right magic number gets to sign that block. And then we all start over again the next 10 minutes and compete, and whoever guesses the right number first gets to sign the block and wins a few bitcoins in the process. And that's how he paid for people to run the system in a decentralized way. And so mining is just the name he used, since he was talking about making coins. How do you make coins? He probably should have called it minting, I just wanted to use a little analogy. But what mining really is nothing but a bunch of computers racing to guess the right number. And the problem with mining is that it becomes an arms race as people use bigger and bigger computers and more special purpose computers. And nowadays, most of the mining is done by, I guess, only 4 companies in the world own all the big computers and mine over half of Bitcoin. Okay, so it's not decentralized anymore. There's the same number of people deciding on who signs the Bitcoin blocks and what software is going to get run as there are running the Federal Reserve. There's 4 governors out of 7 that determine the Federal Reserve's decision-making, and Bitcoin has the same number. So it was a good idea when it was spread over a lot of little computers, but nowadays it's not. And so one of the things BitShares had to do was solve that problem of determining who gets to sign a block in a way that couldn't be centralized by people with a lot of money buying a lot of big computers. And so that was one of the other innovations a few years ago that Dan Lermer came up with to get rid of the centralization. It's a never-ending arms race to try to push things out to more and more decentralization while other forces want to bring it in. And even economic forces, like who can buy the biggest computer, is a force towards centralization.
So right.
Something we have to watch out for.
Yeah. How is this regulated?
Well, in general, the correct statement is it's regulated by the robots who execute the code. The rules, the laws of the system are baked into the software. And so it doesn't need outside regulation. Thank you very much. Because the code is the law, is the way we like to talk about it. But Having said that, and we all passionately believe that, outside of that, there are still places where the code doesn't control. An example is somebody can get on one of these networks and create a coin, and the coin will follow the rules of the network, but a person outside that makes promises to the people who buy that coin from them, and those promises need to be regulated because a person could cheat. They could say, this coin is backed by gold. All right, how do you know it's backed by gold? Well, because, you know, Joe's pizza parlor says that they have, you know, a case of gold in their basement.
Oh, right. No. Well, Joe's,
so
yeah, watch
careful.
Out for Joe.
Yeah, but the fact is we don't really know that there's gold in Fort Knox, do we?
Well, living here in Kentucky, people will say yes, but the conspiracy fans out there in Coast World will probably tell you it's not here at all.
Well, that's right. So when people say gold-backed currencies are better than blockchain-backed currencies, no, they're not, because there's an inherent promise that is made for currencies that are backed by something else that needs to be audited. Now, there are certainly ways that a company could, you know, insure something and, you know, hire auditors and, you know, do things to increase our confidence that they really do have gold backing a digital currency. I think you're going to see a lot of that in the coming year. There'll be a lot of gold-backed digital currencies. And that can be really powerful if you've got the blockchain keeping track of who owns those coins and transferring them instantly around the world, and you've got other mechanisms guaranteeing there really is gold backing it, that's a whole lot better than the Federal Reserve printing money anytime they want to, backed by literally nothing. And so I think that the merger of digital currencies and gold or silver or precious metal or asset backed of any type, there are ways that you can put those two things together in a very powerful way, and you're going to see all kinds of that. We're working on that, and we'll be introducing some of that in the coming year.
Oh, excellent. I agree with you there, too. I mean, I'm at the very beginning of this and learning it. I'm at the very beginning, but we're all at the very beginning. But I feel so much that, just like someone else had written in, and so many people have told me, common person can gain tremendous wealth from this. I can see it myself, and I can't believe it. I mean, I know I've asked you a couple times, Stan, is this real? I mean, I can actually be a multimillionaire. And it's nice to see that you can really do that. And again, I think you said about 1% of the population even knows about this. So I'm excited to be here with you. What about taxes? Or is this taxed? A lot of people think it's not taxed, but I think you're saying yes.
Yeah, I think ultimately it will be taxed. Functionally, digital currencies are things that can be viewed as investments that change in value, and therefore you could have capital gains associated with it. Now, there are some theories that says that if it's defined to be a currency that has a stable value, especially the state of Utah is really famous for declaring that gold was going to be a currency that couldn't be taxed, at least within the state. So there are some theories of taxation that say some kinds of digital currencies might be exempt from tax. But, you know, nothing is as sure as death and taxes, right? So since your transactions out there are an open book, so to speak, you can be audited. I would recommend treating your digital currencies as assets that can appreciate or depreciate and log them as capital gains. But I'm not an expert on that or authorized to have an opinion. So you better check with your own tax accountant on that. They're just learning how to handle it themselves.
Yeah, I think the way to go, if you are an accountant, is to specialize in this and be that person that's the first to say in the area, you know, somebody's area, hey, I guess what I do? I specialize in cryptocurrency. I think that is a great place to go as an accountant, and interesting as well, I would think. So I can see those arising up employee-wise. What are the risks of getting into cryptocurrencies?
Well, right now, cryptocurrencies are still mostly at the Model T stage. And if those of you old enough to remember the Model T, remember that the tires went flat every 20 miles and you had to patch your inner tube. And you had to get out and turn the crank to get the engine started and go fiddle with the choke. And it might take 5 minutes to get the car running. And there are those same kind of problems with digital currencies. There are a few things that you could really mess up. The number one thing you could mess up is forgetting your password. All the digital currencies are locked up, usually with a long and complicated password, because if you use a short password, somebody can guess it and run off with your money. So you put a complicated password in and then forget to write it down, and guess what? Nobody else can unlock your money. The government can't unlock it. The bank can't unlock it. You need to do it. That's one of the neat things about BitShares, is it's got the ability so that you can have several different people with several different passwords, like your spouse or your friend, or teach your dog to remember a password, whatever. You can have multiple accounts that can unlock the same set of money, and that way, if one of them gets forgotten, you have another way to get at your money. But if you just have one account and you lose that password, you've lost whatever money's in that account.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary, but there are ways around it, like you're just saying, and that's with the BitShare wallet. I don't know about all the other wallets, but I know that I've got several names so that I've kind of learned from you, so I don't lose that big, ginormous password that there's no way I can memorize it at all. It's like forever long and all sorts of different numbers and letters and ups and down, lowercase and higher case. But anyway, we got more coming up with Stan Larimer. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. And golly, we could talk all night, but we've only got another 30 minutes with him and one more segment before we go. And then we're going to be talking about the flat Earth and Antarctica with Mark Sargent. So I hope you guys stick around for that. That's going to be just as interesting. Having a good night here on our Thanksgiving weekend. Connie Willis here, and more to come. And by the way, the last tune, Eileen, by Dexys Midnight Runners. Maybe I might have said that wrong, so I just want to make sure. Dexys Midnight Runners. All right, thank you. Forgive me if I did something like that. So anyway, more to come. It's a good night here. Thanks for joining us. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hello, and welcome back to Coast AM. Material Girl. That's Madonna. That too, songs always remind at least me of memories, and it does a lot of people. Being in music and radio years ago, for 15 years, you heard everybody, oh, that song reminds me of this, that song reminds me of that. You've probably been the same way. This one to me, what is it to you? This one to me is my first trip ever to LA. And it was a spring break, and this was the tune, and it was it. So my very first thoughts of Sunset Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard and just LA in general and Burbank and Beverly Hills and all that is Material Girl and Venice Beach and so on and so on. So, just brings it all back, just like it had just happened. So, speaking of just happening, cryptocurrency, we're talking about that. Our last segment is coming up here with Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares. And then after that, we're going to be talking with Mark Sargent, Flat Earth and also Antarctica. They go together. So that's going to be very interesting. If those of you that say, no, Flat Earth, no. Listen, I never thought about it before either. I never thought about it. Then I listened to what he had to say, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So just give it a chance. Just give it a chance. See what you think. It's very interesting. You've listened to other things. You've told your story. So give it a shot. Now, you can also find out like some things that are going on. Flat Earth. There's a guy that's going to be flying a homemade rocket up in the sky. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to learn a little bit more about it than you don't know. in the coming couple of hours. But if you go to our website, you're going to see that there's a story there for that. You're also going to see a story that Mystery Boom rocks Colorado. Okay, now I've heard a bunch of booms, and I know a lot of other people that have heard a bunch of booms. Well, there's a story on that. And we've got all sorts of where the Indian Army captures odd record, and you know, where you can learn about the paranormal date and the Coast Insiders. All these things we have on our website. It's a great website. It's loaded with everything and tells you what the upcoming shows are. New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, I'm going to be with you. I hope you guys will join me. But you want to see what George Norrie is, where what he's going to talk about next, or where he's going to be next? That's where you go, okay? It's loaded, and it's fantastic. So, hey, you want to know any information? Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. It's Coast to Coast AM with Connie Willis here. I'm one of the many guest hosts on the weekend. Very happy to be here, especially for the holiday weekend. Very nice. I know a lot of you have a little bit of time off, so you can stay up a little later and you enjoy that. I'm here with Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares, talking about cryptocurrencies. Stan, so we have coins, and we can kind of mess around with coins and, you know, kind of play the stock market kind of thing with coins and have fun with that. And there's many of them out there to choose from and have fun with. But how, let's say I have a business, or let's say you are going to businesses and say, hey, this is how you can use cryptocurrency or BitShares, because you're dealing with BitShares. How can I incorporate BitShares in my company? Do I have to have a specific kind of company, or how does that work?
Well, it's actually pretty easy, because most digital currencies can be interfaced to and controlled from your own website. So you get the software downloaded for the currency you want to use. Like, you would download the BitShares wallet, which is an application, runs on your computer that's running your website, and your website software can talk to that wallet and command it to do things like send money from Stan to Connie.
Yay!
And it can keep track of when Connie has put money into Stan's account, and then turn around and, you know, and say, wow, I just got a BitShare from Connie. Let me send her a snow cone. And so hooking that kind of thing up is really not that hard. You don't have to be the same type of technical specialist needed to invent the blockchain or, you know, to make modifications to that code. You can just be an ordinary website developer and interface with it a lot. But there is one thing that I tell businesses when I go into their boardrooms, and I say to them, hey, guys, how come you chose that blockchain, Brand X? And they say, well, I chose it because it's got one of the biggest market caps out there, or it's got lots of developers or lots of publicity. And I say, oh, okay, well, tell me about your application. Oh, we want to send money to everybody in a whole sports stadium as they interact with the game on the field. So that's like 20,000, maybe 50,000 people that are going to be using their cell phones at the same time interacting with your blockchain. Did you know that Brand X can only do about 20 transactions per second, whereas BitShares can do tens of thousands of transactions per second? And, you know, the CEOs turn to their technical guru and say, is that true? And the guru, you know, looks pretty sheepish and runs for the door because he's picked the blockchain based upon the wrong reason. He picked the biggest blockchain or the one that has the most hackers working on it instead of picking one that can handle the business's load. And so that's the thing I'm having a lot of success with, going from company to company, talking to their CEOs. There's some really, really neat applications coming out, places where people can play games and win money and do all sorts of things with this currency, places where you can get coins that have double the purchasing power of the dollar, so that you can go into a store and get huge discounts, all kinds of exciting stuff. And the only trouble is those companies were building on Brand X, and Brand X has maybe less than 30 transactions for the whole world to use And there's maybe 200 companies coming out with products that will use all of that by a factor of 10 or 100. So there's going to be a big train wreck next year as all these companies come online using Brand X, and they should have used BitShares.
And I think I know who Brand X is. Are you just trying to be cool about it?
Well, Brand X is any of the blockchains that use mining. Because mining is inherently slow.
It's evil.
And you could go down through the list of the most famous coins out there. I don't need to badmouth them. But
no.
Every one of them is clever and innovative in its own
yes.
way.
Yes.
But you look at their what they can handle, and they're all under 30 transactions per second.
Right.
Visa handles 2,000 to 5,000 transactions per second. And BitShares has already demonstrated those levels of transaction without breaking a sweat. So it's got lots of bandwidth. So if you're a person who's doing a business, that's the question you have to ask. Whatever network I choose to work with, they all kind of work the same, and they can all send money, and they'll all do the job if nobody else is using the network at the same time. But there's only one network out there that's a general purpose financial network that that can handle all the world's transactions, and that's the family of currencies developed by Dan Larimer. Those are the real-time blockchains, the real-time networks, as opposed to the ones that are, take minutes to hours to execute and can only handle a few transactions per second.
Well, that makes sense with like the steam at the social media, because so many people are posting, like constantly posting, and then you have people upvoting it. And so all this money's transactioning right then and there, right? I mean, that's an example alone of how much it's being used. Am I saying that right? Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah, you can imagine if you were sitting down at a social media thing and wanting to do stuff and you had to wait an hour for one of your posts to show up. I mean, it just wouldn't work. If you're using BitShares, which is an exchange, and you want to do a trade and you had to wait an hour or so for the trade to go through, that just wouldn't work. BitShares and Steemit together handle more peak transactions in one day than all the other networks, blockchains combined. So, they're already leading the entire industry in terms of the transactions they handle. And that's the kind of thing that shows that it's ready for prime time. Real-time industrial-grade blockchains is what businesses ought to be looking for whatever their applications are.
And you can apply, you were talking about some of the applications, like, let's just say I built a casino. I could actually do a casino of nothing but, BitShares or a Bitcoin or some sort of cryptocurrency, right? And I could do a shopping channel, and that's what you spend is a cryptocurrency, right? I mean, that's how I can apply this, right? Not just games and video games and all that kind of stuff too, which is gigantic. But I mean, I just if you do that, if you say, okay, this hotel here that you use, we only take cryptocurrency. Am I even thinking correctly on this?
Well, yeah. One of the good examples, there's yet another one I haven't mentioned, PeerPlays, which is a gaming blockchain using Dan Larimer's same technology. So it can do real-time games, either video games or various gambling type applications where you need provably fair gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a third party company that took that same code that Dan developed and built that new application out of it. And so you'll see all kinds of places that can use that kind of stuff, and we'll be building new and exciting applications of every type. And you'll just have all that on your cell phone, on your smartphone. And in fact, some of them are even being designed to run on much older flip phones, especially for people in some of the third world countries who are unbanked. Right now, they're trading with cell phone minutes as a form of currency. But digital currencies will bring in all kinds of prosperity to those places, because it will connect them for the first time to all the world's economy. And that should put them at the new crossroads of commerce in the coming decade.
So you can, you can buy your coins, but other coins do giveaways and special ways so you can kind of get into their coin, right? And then go from there, right? I'm having people ask me questions about, is this like the green stamps long time ago? Or is this, can I buy gold or silver from this? Hey, we're at 7-Eleven, you can't use it here. Now, these are the things that are coming at me. I mean, because it is so new to everybody. I mean, I'm just jumping into this too. And it's so exciting because, again, the common person can gain wealth through this.
Yes, and we're trying to dramatize that. We put $1 million worth of BitShares into an account. We got a website called BillionHeroCampaign.com, which was a place where that million dollars worth of BitShares can grow to be $1 billion over the next couple years, just like Bitcoin has already done. And other currencies have demonstrated large factors of growth. And we said, well, why don't we just put up $1 million, grow it to $1 billion as people adopt the BitShares system. And then whenever it reaches there, we'll give it away to 12 good causes that the people that use BitShares get to vote on. And so the reason we're doing that, of course, is to attract people to the BitShares network. But it also shows them that, hey, if they can put $1 million and turn it into $1 billion, I could put $1,000 and turn it into $1 million. Or I could save my coffee cup, Starbucks a week, and instead of spending $5 there, I put it aside, and that turns into $5,000 if we grow as much as Bitcoin has already shown you can grow. And, of course, I've already pointed out BitShares is technology light years ahead of Bitcoin. So I think we got a pretty good case that's a good choice. But there's other good choices out there, too. And an ordinary person who learns how to use this could just put aside $5 in a few places, and one of them might make them a nice little chunk of money.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a whole lot. I think that's really, really cool. I'm so interested in it. I'm glad to be able to talk to you about it. So the different types of coins you were talking about. I mean, here Bitcoin comes in, and they do wonderful. And it's great for somebody like you guys to watch from afar and see where the mistakes were made or how it can be better, how can you can improve it here and what the extensions can be. So it's really cool that you can, the people that come second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, can really look at how they can improve something by far. And we don't have too much time. Can you tell us about the Hero? Because one of the things I find interesting about the Hero is it's very safe, but if you've got about 30 seconds to describe what the Hero is, because there's many safe things out there. There's so many different tokens to get.
Well, the Hero is a smart coin that's stable and grows against value of the U.S. dollar since 1913, when the Federal Reserve started printing money. And so while the dollar has fallen to 2 cents, the Hero has grown to be worth 160 2017 dollars. And it's very stable, except it grows instead of shrinks in its purchasing power. And that's something that does that because it's backed by BitShares as collateral that helps to guarantee a nice stable price that appreciates towards that formula.
And I think it's...
You can learn about that at sovereignhero.com.
Right, and we have that address on our website for you too, folks. But what I really like about that is it's kind of that thing, that gift that grandma and grandpa would give or mom and dad would give when you graduate from college or high school or something like that, or when you're first born. That's something that people can buy and say, put this away, let it grow. And I just love that. I just love what I'm seeing here and learning, and I'm learning more about this than I did our own currency. So I'll see how it goes in the future. Stan, before you take off, tell people where we can find you and your information.
Okay, well, I would suggest that you can go to bitshares.org, which is the general website that lets you get a wallet and learn how to get BitShares. You could go to BillionHeroCampaign.com. That's where we make a game out of learning about digital currencies. Or you could go to SovereignHero.com to learn about these smart coins.
And in the future, where do you see BitShares, or yeah, let's just, you've got BitShares, Steemit, you've got EOS, all these neat things that you know about that are coming up. How do you see all this in 2018?
Well, we're not going to replace government-run currencies. They're still going to try to take over the world with a one-world currency and use that to control everything that happens. So I'll be happy if we just get a network adopted to the point where we prevent there from being only one type of money, because when that happens, we lose all our freedom. So this is basically our freedom-fighting efforts to give the world options in terms of what kind of money they trade.
And your son, who you're very proud of as well, what is his goal?
Well, his goal is to secure life, liberty, and property. So in that sense, the founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence had similar goals. The guys that wrote the Constitution, and down through the years we come to this day and age, the battle for freedom is preventing people from using a one-world currency to control everybody, because if they've got just one currency to buy and sell things, they can turn off your life by simply banning your account. And we can't let that happen. And therefore, everything that we're trying to do is to provide ways to give people to interact directly to each other without going through a central one-world government control system.
Ah, I'm living the dream with you. I hope I just love hearing this. It's so refreshing. So thank you very much, Stan Larimer. I'll see you on Steam It from time to time and say hello to you there at Stan. I hope people check him out there. I'm at Blue Rock Talk, so come and follow me too and say hi. I love it's fun. It's fun. It's very smart people. It's a lot of great content, and I love the computer guys out there. I love the computer gals, and girls, kind of, guys. When I say that, it's male and female, and it's just a joy. So thank you for bringing us this information, Stan, and waking us up to what's going on now, not tomorrow, but now with our money. Thank you very much. You take care, Stan. We'll be talking to you soon. And hey, those of you out there still with me, Flat Earth, what do you think? Antarctica, do they go together? More coming up here next hour on Coast to Coast AM.